Yeah, my two co-authors on this paper are Gary Breidenbeck and John Cruz. I'm going to get right into this too because this will be a rather long presentation. The objectives of this research was to evaluate soil and foliar applied nitrogen formulations for cotton lint yield responses. And I probably should say to reevaluate because we've gone through all of this in past years and we've taken a new look at NRHs for various reasons. And one of them is that our precision ag team now is telling me that they are getting responses to higher NRHs than we have showed in the past in some of our research plots. And there's still a lot of issues to work out there, but if that's true, we need to go back and look at some of the things we've done in the past. So I'm going to start this by, as a way of introduction, to doing some previous research results. And I just pulled slides out of talks I've done over the past many years on NRHs. And this was a study we conducted on commerce silt lawn for 7 years. And what it shows out in our response curve here is that the 75 pounds of nitrogen was optimal for production, and we actually had slight yield declines after applying more than that. On Sharkey clay, we get the same type of response curve, but on this clay soil, of course, our NRHs optimal is more in the 90 to 100 pound range. Now, this will change depending on cropping systems. That those previous slides were for cotton following cotton. If we have cotton after corn, this is on jigger silt loam, our optimal NRHs are somewhat lower at about 50 pounds per acre, maybe even a little less than that. So the cropping system does have an effect. Now, we also have tested single and split nitrogen applications on different soil types, and we haven't seen a lot of response to using those types of splits. As you see right across here, pretty much the same whether we applied 100% at planting, as shown by this blue line, or by the yellow bar. We do get a little yield decline when we use low rates because it seems like if we're splitting it and we put out a low rate of nitrogen out, we may be running out of nitrogen before we get our split out, which is here is put out about it during early flowering. Now, we have also looked at residual effects, and this was from a 7-year study. It was easy to do. We just went in and did not fertilize. After we fertilized for 7 years, we just ran the study without fertilizing anymore. And we showed a real good response to the residual nitrogen as the end rate had increased. Applied these are good for 7 years. We saw a pretty steady increase as that residual nitrogen was in that soil, and we continued to see this for years afterwards. This is, again, a commerce silt loam, which is one of those good delta soils. Thought of throwing a couple of field shots. This is what our cotton looked like in seventh year, 75 pounds of nitrogen each year. About as much nitrogen, I think, you can see as you want on that crop. But we do have, depending, again, on the cropping system, and here we're looking at things like vetch or no-till, we reduce our nitrogen rates. Sometimes with cover crops, you have to increase your nitrogen rates. We're hung up here for some reason. Okay. Well, that's not good. Okay, now getting on with our current research results. Now, I'm going to talk about a total of 5 experiments that we conducted in 2006 and 2007. We used soil applications of 0 to 125 pounds with different N forms of ammonium nitrate, urea, urea ammonium nitrate, 32% solution, Nidamin. And Nidamin is a product of Georgia Pacific. It has urea in it, but then it has a steady release component, which requires microbial activity to release it. It doesn't have an inhibitor in it or anything. It just requires microbial activity to make the nitrogen available. We tested 2 forms, a 43 granular and a 30 liquid. And the itty-bitty foliar applications using urea, the Nidamin 30 liquid, and Coron. I'm going to be pretty brief on the procedures because I want to get to the results of these. What I call my experiment 1 series with a soil applied nitrogen rates. And here we have 3 forms at 6 rates applied to cotton and jigger silt loam at 06. Experiment 1B, again, was an easy study. All we did was in 07, we did not fertilize this test. We put it back in just to look at the residual responses we got from those different N rates in 2006. Experiment 1C was similar to 1A, except it was on commerce silty clay loam rather than the jigger silt loam. Now, foliar applied study, we did 2 soil applied NRHs. We used a suboptimal rate and then an optimal rate and applied those foliar applications. And we repeated the experiment almost identically in 2007. Okay, the first experiment, we had the ammonium nitrate, urea, and Nidamin. NRHs, again, 0 to 125. We did the split applications. As we saw in the previous research we did, we didn't get much response to the split application, but we're looking at them again. Obviously, if we're going to do this in-season type of sensing or imaging, we have to get a response to that side dress application. If we don't, then we've kind of wasted our time even looking at that. So we want to be sure that we can get something out of a split application. In Louisiana, we do not recommend split applications for the most part based on the data that we have. This is the cotton yield response in our 1A experiment. The different formulations were very close. I'd say really no difference in performance until you got out to the high end where the ammonium nitrate tended to drop off and yield more so than the other two formulations did. But our optimal end rate was right around 75 pounds, which goes ahead and confirms all those years of data we had for silt loam soil. We're still looking at this 75 pound rate as being optimal. Now, on the splits, we have non-significant increases here. This is just probably variation, fairly consistent that the 50 plus 25 is a little higher than the 75. I had not seen this previously, but again, these were not significant increases. Splitting the 100 pound rate, again, nothing here as far as benefit. There's a little bump here in yield with the 75-25 with the ammonium nitrate. But actually, I think what's happening is that the yield on the 100-pound rate is actually decreasing, as you saw in that first slide I showed you. Now here, this is this, kind of the same situation. It looks like it's beneficial to split the 125 rate, and indeed it is. But the reason it is because this yield with the 125 has actually been decreasing. And so that what we're seeing here is a yield decrease with the If you apply 125 pounds, which is an excessive rate, if you want to do that, you should split it. That's what this data is telling us. But it would be better to actually just apply a lower rate of nitrogen, of course. We did a good bit of leaf tissue analysis. I'm just going to show you two dates here. I can get this back on here. This was 29 June, which is early flower. No difference with the formulations at all. Our optimal rate of 75 pounds of nitrogen for yield gave us leaf nitrogen concentration of 5.5%, which is well above what we would consider to be sufficient. And later, during kind of mid-bow fill, our responses are the same for all the formulations again. Here at 75 pounds, we still have a sufficiency level of a little over 4% or so nitrogen in the leaf. Again, this is experiment 1B in 2007, which is just to test the residual effects of those 2006 applications. A little surprising, we didn't have any residual effect at all. As we'd seen in previous studies, although the previous studies we had long-term applications for multiple years. Here, this was just a one-year application. And I think the probable explanation for this in this particular soil is leaching down into acid subsoil and where we're losing the nitrogen or just making it unavailable because it has a very highly acid subsoil on a jigger soil. Experiment 1C, in Commerce silty clay loam, we tested the liquid formulations of urea ammonium nitrate again here with nitamin 30 liquid. Our rates are going to be the same as they were for the previous experiment, and the splits are going to be the same as they were for the previous experiment. Okay, the two formulations are identical in the response as far as from the rates. Our rate as optimal is a little higher, near 100 pounds, as we'd expect with the clay in that soil. We need a little bit more nitrogen, but not excessively so, I think. I would have probably, if I had been out there and recommended a rate for that soil type, I probably would have been around 80 to 90 pounds on a recommendation for that, and it turned out close to that. In our split applications, we had no response putting a 75-pound rate on that soil. And also with a 100-pound rate, we didn't really show any yield increase by splitting it 50-50 or 75-25 in a second application that early flowering. And then on splitting the 125, we see the same thing again, a lower yield with the single application, but this is due to the decrease in yield with that single application rather than an increase in yield from the split application. And with the nitrogen, we didn't see any effect at all there. And I kind of put this slide in to show the difference. This is 100 pounds applied all at planting time. This is the 75-50, and there's no difference here in yield whatsoever. But if we applied the 125 at one shot, however, at planting, we do get a yield decrease here. So it's better to go with a 100-pound rate rather than splitting it or using a higher rate. Okay, this is on our foliar treatments. We put 40 pounds, which would be a suboptimal rate, and 80 as split plots, and then we applied these materials, urea, the nitrogen, and coron. And I'm only going to show part of this. We actually had one application, two applications, or three applications, 10 pounds each time. I'm just going to show the three application time, which means we applied a total of 30 pounds of nitrogen by foliar treatments. The chlorine, though, we sort of went with a label, and we applied 2 gallons per acre, although we applied it three times. So we'll be applying a lot less nitrogen with the chlorine than we are with the other products here. But that's we're kind of following the label on that. 2006, you could maybe make an argument for here for nitrogen giving us a yield increase applied, or for urea here giving us a little yield increase over our zero rate. But certainly it's not economic, because we've got to have three times applying this fertilizer and applying quite a bit. So I'd say it's not an economic proposition here. In 2007, we repeated the same experiment again, but what we did, we reduced the suboptimal rate down to 30 pounds to see if we could get some type of response from the foliar, and then went to 60 pound, which would be sort of in the recommended range, but a little bit low. Tested the same materials exactly the way we did in 2006. This time, where we applied 30, we did get yield increases with the urea and also with the nitrogen, not with the chlorine. And we got maybe a yield increase here with the nitrogen where we applied a 60-pound rate. But there's nothing really here that jumps out at you and says, I want to apply foliar nitrogen, because the cost of these applications would probably make it uneconomic to do so. So I think we're still looking at recommending applying all our nitrogen pretty much at planting time. Summary. No formulation that we tested had any effect on cotton response to N rates. The optimal N rate was 75 pounds on the Giga silt loam and 90 pounds on the Commerce silty clay loam. Our optimal rates that we saw here were pretty much consistent with our previous research and our current recommendations. And the foliar applied nitrogen, we saw some yield increases in there, but they were not certainly economic. That you would want to be using foliar treatments, I don't think. And we really don't recommend them. Unless you're in a situation where you just know you're deficient, you might want to try something like that. I have a feeling that a lot of these foliar effects that we see sometimes, we apply it on the foliage of the plant, but then let's say it rains the next day, so you wash that off into the soil, and sure, you'll get a response from foliar treatment probably, but it's actually from uptake by the roots then. Okay, any questions? I went through that real quick, I know. I got us back on time, Leo.
Any questions?
Yes. We put out the first application right around the early flowering, and then 10-day intervals after that. And we got no response from any of that pretty much across the board. And we tried, I don't know if you noticed, but on that first in 2006, 40-pound salt applied and 80-pound salt applied yielded the same. And so this, in the case of that field, was pretty much had a lot of nitrogen available without any fertilizer at all, because it didn't seem to respond to salt either. Then we did get a response from the 30 to 60 in the second year, so we were deficient with that 30-pound rate, but not so much with the 60-pound rate.
Reading that, your findings contradict the paper that Roland Rockwell put in the Journal of Top 5 last year on the economic value of foliar fertilizer than the nitrogen situation. But usually in that study, which was presented, I think, 0102, foliar applications are generally being timed when you want to crop the field anyway, with either EGR, insecticide, either cost savings there. But it was economically viable to do so at the price of the urea at $130 a ton. And if the price goes up to where it is now $500 plus a ton, it can be very valuable to a grower. I don't understand why it didn't work.
Well, I can't argue with the previous results. I mean, what he got under the different conditions is what he got under those conditions. And what we got here is what we did. And we've looked at this over the years. When we first were just applying urea, and people were getting responses elsewhere from urea, so it was kind of popular. We tried in Louisiana and never did get a response, unless we truly made the crop deficient first. Then we get a response. But I still hold to the fact that it's better to put out nitrogen at one time, get that cost of application over with in Louisiana. That works best for us. And why we're not getting the response to the split application that other people are seeing elsewhere, I can't say. One thing we know is that in our soils in Louisiana, we have a lot of native and residual nitrogen. it's hard to get a response. I mean, if you notice now, zero treatments here. We're at 2 bales sometimes with no nitrogen in the fertilizer at all. So we're not, our response curve goes like this, but it's up here at the level. We're starting off with 2 bales and going up to 2.5 to maybe 3 bales. So we're actually supplying only about 30% of the nitrogen the cotton crop needs when we fertilize. The rest of it's already in the soil. And this goes on and on for fallow soils in the delta or even on the ridge. It seems like we just don't have to add a lot of fertilizer, which is fortunate. The cost of fertilizer, we don't need to be doing that. But in the precision ag work we're doing on large form fields, and there's a lot of questions there because you're looking at the reason we're doing these fields is they're very variable in soil type. And we're embedding these treatments in there, and then you have to analyze that statistically, and that's still sort of experimental. But if indeed our plot work doesn't relate to the real world, we need to take another look at it. But after we've made the decisions that we're doing those other site-specific applications correctly, and we're not seeing or having response to high nitrogen rates, then we need to take a real look at what our plot research. But the plot research seems to me to hold pretty true, I think. Wayne? Yeah, it usually is, and that's why we have to carry the studies out so long. See, we're not like Stoneville where you have these nice uniform fields. We're at the bottom of the drainage system. We've been dumped on, you know, flood, ebb and flows, and this soil is all mixed up, and it's hard to find a 2-acre field that's uniform to do any research on either, because we have there's so many soil types. This is where I did this study on the commerce silty clay loam. We moved 20 feet over here, and we're into commerce silt loam. We moved 20 feet over here, and we're in the sharky clay. So that's why we can't block out all of that variability that we have in our test. So we have to run the studies for multiple years to kind of get more data before we can make conclusions.